理课堂听 class.com。
21世纪大学英语视听说教程第三册
21st Century College English Viewing, Listening, and Speaking Course Book 3 Unit 1 Growing Pains Part 1 Communication Skills Whining and Dining Task 2Listen to the tape and do the following exercises. 1. Listen to the following passage twice and fill in the missing words and phrases.
Healthy eating for kids. We all want our children to be healthy. We want them to grow to their fullest potential. Good nutrition and a balanced diet will help them grow up healthy.Whether they are toddlers or teens, we can take steps to improve nutrition and encourage smart eating habits. Here are some tips on how to get our kids to eat healthy foods. 1. Have regular family meals. Family meals are a comforting ritual for both parents and kids. Children like the predictability of family meals, and parents get a chance to catch up with their kids.Kids who take part in regular family meals are also more likely to eat fruits, vegetables and grains, less likely to snack on unhealthy foods and less likely to smoke or drink alcohol. In addition, family meals offer the chance to introduce your child to new foods and find out which foods your child likes and which foods he or she doesn't. Teens may turn up their noses at the family meal.Not surprising, because they're trying to establish independence. Yet studies find that teens still want their parents' advice and counsel, so use mealtime as a chance to reconnect.
2. Encourage teen children to participate in the selection and preparation of meals. Involving children in shopping for food, in selecting the menu, and in the preparation of meals will give parents an insight into their food preferences.These activities also present a good opportunity to teach them about nutrition. Involving them in the meal preparation process will give them a feeling of having accomplished something, and more importantly, they will be more open to try healthy foods that they help prepare. 3. Always have healthy foods available and in a ready-to-eat form. Kids, especially younger ones, will eat mostly what's available at home.That's why it's important to control the supply lines, the foods that parents serve for meals and have on hand for snacks. For example, we should always place a bowl of fresh fruit on the kitchen counter. We will be surprised at how readily our kids will grab an apple, banana, or orange if they're easy to get. At the same time, limit fast food and other low-nutrient snacks such as chips and candy.But don't completely ban favorite snacks from our homes. Instead, make them once-in-a-while foods so that our children don't feel deprived. 4. Try our best to be role models for our children. Children are very observant and learn by example. If we have healthy eating habits, they are more likely to adopt our behavior and develop proper eating habits.
Healthy eating for kids. We all want our children to be healthy. We want them to grow to their fullest potential. Good nutrition and a balanced diet will help them grow up healthy. Whether they are toddlers or teens, we can take steps to improve nutrition and encourage smart eating habits. Here are some tips on how to get our kids to eat healthy foods. 1. Have regular family meals. Family meals are a comforting ritual for both parents and kids. Children like the predictability of family meals, and parents get a chance to catch up with their kids. Kids who take part in regular family meals are also more likely to eat fruits, vegetables, and grains, less likely to snack on unhealthy foods, and less likely to smoke or drink alcohol. In addition, family meals offer the chance to introduce your child to new foods and find out which foods your child likes and which foods he or she doesn't. Teens may turn up their noses at the family meal. Not surprising, because they're trying to establish independence. Yet studies find that teens still want their parents' advice and counsel, so use mealtime as a chance to reconnect.
2. Encourage teen children to participate in the selection and preparation of meals. Involving children in shopping for food, in selecting the menu, and in the preparation of meals will give parents an insight into their food preferences. These activities also present a good opportunity to teach them about nutrition. Involving them in the meal preparation process will give them a feeling of having accomplished something, and more importantly, they will be more open to try healthy foods that they help prepare. 3. Always have healthy foods available and in a ready-to-eat form. Kids, especially younger ones, will eat mostly what's available at home. That's why it's important to control the supply lines, the foods that parents serve for meals and have on hand for snacks. For example, we should always place a bowl of fresh fruit on the kitchen counter. We will be surprised at how readily our kids will grab an apple, banana, or orange if they're easy to get. At the same time, limit fast food and other low-nutrient snacks such as chips and candy. But don't completely ban favorite snacks from our homes. Instead, make them once-in-a-while foods so that our children don't feel deprived. 4. Try our best to be role models for our children. Children are very observant and learn by example. If we have healthy eating habits, they are more likely to adopt our behavior and develop proper eating habits. 2. Listen to the following advice about decent table manners twice and fill in the missing words or phrases.
Decent table manners. Children should be taught at an early age about decent table manners. Good table manners are more than about proper eating. They are about being kind and considerate of others. The possession or lack of proper table manners is one way by which people are judged. Whether in a restaurant or in a home, there are some basic table manners to teach kids. 1. Eat with a fork or a spoon unless the food is meant to be eaten with fingers. Only babies eat with fingers. 2. Don't stuff your mouth full of food. It looks impolite and could lead to choking. Chew with your mouth closed. Don't talk while your mouth is full. 3. Don't make any rude comments about any food being served. It will hurt someone's feelings. 4. Always say thank you when served something. It shows appreciation. 5. If the meal is not buffet style, wait until everyone is served before eating. This shows consideration. 6. Eat slowly. Don't gobble up the food. Someone took a long time to prepare the food, so enjoy it slowly. 7. Don't reach over someone's plate for something. Instead, ask for the item to be passed to you. 8. Don't pick anything out of your teeth. It's a sign of bad manners. If it bothers you that much, excuse yourself and go to the restroom to clean your teeth. 9. Always use a napkin to dab your mouth, which should be on your lap when not in use. Remember, Dab your mouth only. Don't wipe your face or blow your nose with a napkin. Both are impolite. Excuse yourself from the table and go to the restroom to do those things. 10. When eating at someone's home or as a guest of someone at a restaurant, at the end always thank the hosts and tell them how much you enjoyed the meal. Even if every dish wasn't your favourite, the gesture is important, for it recognises the generosity of the invitation. Decent table manners. Children should be taught at an early age about decent table manners. Good table manners are more than about proper eating. They are about being kind and considerate of others. The possession or lack of proper table manners is one way by which people are judged. Whether in a restaurant or in a home, there are some basic table manners to teach kids. 1. Eat with a fork or a spoon unless the food is meant to be eaten with fingers. Only babies eat with fingers. 2. Don't stuff your mouth full of food. It looks impolite and could lead to choking. Chew with your mouth closed. Don't talk while your mouth is full. 3. Don't make any rude comments about any food being served. It will hurt someone's feelings. 4. Always say thank you when served something. It shows appreciation. 5. If the meal is not buffet style, wait until everyone is served before eating. This shows consideration. 6. Eat slowly. Don't gobble up the food. Someone took a long time to prepare the food, so enjoy it slowly. 7. Don't reach over someone's plate for something. Instead, ask for the item to be passed to you. 8. Don't pick anything out of your teeth. It's a sign of bad manners. If it bothers you that much, excuse yourself and go to the restroom to clean your teeth. 9. Always use a napkin to dab your mouth, which should be on your lap when not in use. Remember, dab your mouth only. Don't wipe your face or blow your nose with a napkin. Both are impolite. Excuse yourself from the table and go to the restroom to do those things. 10. When eating at someone's home or as a guest of someone at a restaurant, at the end always thank the hosts and tell them how much you enjoyed the meal. Even if every dish wasn't your favourite, the gesture is important, for it recognises the generosity of the invitation.
Part 2. Theme-related activities. Task 1. Listen to the following tape and do the exercises below. 1. Listen to the following passage and decide whether the statements below are true or false. Should children come first? Once upon a time, people got married, had children, and raised them. It wasn't something they spent a lot of time on. Then came the baby boom, and a great number of child-rearing experts with fancy ideas. Soon, raising kids became an abstract, difficult science. Parents became permissive and excessively democratic, and not surprisingly, children became spoiled and out of control. For most of the first 7 years of my life, my mother went to college and worked part-time. When Mum was home, she often ushered me outdoors, where I'd find myself sharing the sidewalk with other kids who'd also been kicked out of their houses. If I truly needed Mum, she was always there. On the other hand, if I wanted her to do something for me that I could do for myself, she was quick to instruct me accordingly. I never felt rejected or uncared for. Quite the contrary, I felt loved and independent at the same time. Since World War II, we have become obsessed with elevating kids to a position of prominence they have not earned and do not benefit from. The more child-centered the family has become, the more self-centered children have become.
Except for the first few years of life, children do not require constant attention, any more than they require unlimited food. Kids need to eat, but if you give them too much, they become food addicts. Too much attention is every bit as damaging, making it difficult for the child to grow beyond his infantile self-centeredness. But parents can help cure children of an addiction to attention by putting their marriage first. If the marriage is healthy, the family and each individual within it will be healthy as well. The children will have a secure foundation upon which to build self-esteem. Several years ago, some friends created an unusual rule. For 30 minutes after everyone gets home, the children must play in their rooms or go outside. The parents take this time to unwind and talk as they prepare the evening meal. Until this rule, my friends had devoted themselves entirely to their kids. But the more attention they gave them, the more demanding and disobedient the children became. Now the children find things to do by themselves until dinner, while the parents enjoy talking together. The result is these children have become more independent, secure, outgoing, happy, and polite.
2. Listen again and fill in the missing words or phrases. Should children come first? Once upon a time, people got married, had children, and raised them. It wasn't something they spent a lot of time on. Then came the baby boom, and a great number of child-rearing experts with fancy ideas. Soon, raising kids became an abstract, difficult science. Parents became permissive and excessively democratic, and not surprisingly, children became spoiled and out of control. For most of the first 7 years of my life, my mother went to college and worked part-time. When Mum was home, she often ushered me outdoors, where I'd find myself sharing the sidewalk with other kids who'd also been kicked out of their houses. If I truly needed Mum, she was always there. On the other hand, if I wanted her to do something for me that I could do for myself, she was quick to instruct me accordingly. I never felt rejected or uncared for. Quite the contrary, I felt loved and independent at the same time. Since World War II, we have become obsessed with elevating kids to a position of prominence they have not earned and do not benefit from. The more child-centered the family has become, the more self-centered children have become.
Except for the first few years of life, children do not require constant attention, any more than they require unlimited food. Kids need to eat, but if you give them too much, they become food addicts. Too much attention is every bit as damaging, making it difficult for the child to grow beyond his infantile self-centeredness. But parents can help cure children of an addiction to attention by putting their marriage first. If the marriage is healthy, the family and each individual within it will be healthy as well. The children will have a secure foundation upon which to build self-esteem. Several years ago, some friends created an unusual rule. For 30 minutes after everyone gets home, the children must play in their rooms or go outside. The parents take this time to unwind and talk as they prepare the evening meal. Until this rule, my friends had devoted themselves entirely to their kids. But the more attention they gave them, the more demanding and disobedient the children became. Now the children find things to do by themselves until dinner, while the parents enjoy talking together. The result is these children have become more independent, secure, outgoing, happy, and polite.
Task 2. Listen to the following tape and then do the exercises. 1. Listen to the passage and then write down the answers to the following questions. Raising happy, healthy children. I call myself expert at raising children, not because I'm a psychologist and not because I earned a degree in parenting, I have been a father for nearly 20 years and have learned through trial and error. My experience has shown me that a number of fashionable ideas about raising children that many of today's parents believe are actually damaging. For example, nowadays parents often believe children should be the center of the family and a family should be a complete democracy. But unfortunately, they quickly get into trouble. Their intention is to raise happy, healthy children, while on the contrary, their children become more and more disobedient and aggressive. Parents often ask me, how can we get our children to obey? My answer is simple and direct. If you expect your children to obey, they will. I'm sure many American parents would say they do expect their children to obey. I'm equally sure that many American children are not obedient. This sorry state of affairs is the fault of parents who forever beat around the bush of obedience, lest they damage their child's supposedly fragile psyche. When parents plead, bargain, bribe, threaten, give second chances, or reason with children, they are wishing for, not expecting, obedience. The most common form of wishing takes place when parents argue with young children. Parents sometimes make decisions that the child doesn't like, and the child screeches, "Why?" But this isn't a question, it's an invitation to do battle. By accepting the invitation, you step squarely into trouble, and you cannot win. No matter how eloquent or correct your explanation, children can see only one point of view, and that is their own point of view. It is far better, without hint of threat or apology, to say simply, "Because I said so." As a child, I couldn't stand to hear those four words, and I promised myself I would never say them to my children. I kept that promise until I came to the edge of disaster with my first child. From then on, "because I said so" became part of my vocabulary. Now my child is already a grown-up, and he is smart, determined, and creative. Above all, he is happy and healthy all his growing time. I couldn't ask for a better child. If those words absolutely stick in your throat, try saying them. Because you're the parent and making decisions is your responsibility. The fact is, a family is not ultimately a democracy. Eventually, someone has to have the final say. And that someone better be an adult, or everyone is in trouble. 2. Listen to the passage again and fill in the missing words or phrases. Raising happy, healthy children. I call myself expert at raising children, not because I'm a psychologist and not because I earned a degree in parenting. I have been a father for nearly 20 years and have learned through trial and error. My experience has shown me that a number of fashionable ideas about raising children that many of today's parents believe are actually damaging. For example, nowadays parents often believe children should be the center of the family and a family should be a complete democracy. But unfortunately, they quickly get into trouble. Their intention is to raise happy, healthy children, while on the contrary, their children become more and more disobedient and aggressive. Parents often ask me, how can we get our children to obey? My answer is simple and direct. If you expect your children to obey, they will. I'm sure many American parents would say they do expect their children to obey. I'm equally sure that many American children are not obedient. This sorry state of affairs is the fault of parents who forever beat around the bush of obedience, lest they damage their child's supposedly fragile psyche. When parents plead, bargain, bribe, threaten, give second chances, or reason with children, they are wishing for, not expecting, obedience. The most common form of wishing takes place when parents argue with young children. Parents sometimes make decisions that the child doesn't like, and the child screeches, "Why?" But This isn't a question. It's an invitation to do battle. By accepting the invitation, you step squarely into trouble, and you cannot win. No matter how eloquent or correct your explanation, children can see only one point of view, and that is their own point of view. It is far better, without hint of threat or apology, to say simply, "Because I said so." As a child, I couldn't stand to hear those four words, and I promised myself I would never say them to my children. I kept that promise until I came to the edge of disaster with my first child. From then on, "because I said so" became part of my vocabulary. Now my child is already a grown-up, and he is smart, determined, and creative. Above all, he is happy and healthy all his growing time. I couldn't ask for a better child. If those words absolutely stick in your throat, try saying them. Because you're the parent and making decisions is your responsibility. The fact is, a family is not ultimately a democracy. Eventually, someone has to have the final say. And that someone better be an adult, or everyone is in trouble. Task 3. Listen to the following tape and do the exercises below. 1. Listen to the following passage and write down the numbers you hear. Secrets of A-plus parents. When Philip Bramson started fourth grade, he got an unusual new teacher. She recognized that he had a special talent in math, and she let him learn at his own pace. That meant that by the end of ninth grade, Philip had zoomed through all of high school calculus. Sometimes it was tough, but she encouraged him to push through it, even when he got frustrated. This extraordinary teacher behind Philip's achievement was his homeschooling mum. "Lots of people are good at math," says Philip, who's now in his sophomore year at his dream college, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. "But my mother helped me develop the necessary discipline to reach my full potential. I would never have made it to MIT without her." It's estimated that 850,000 to 1.9 million children are homeschooled today, and these numbers are growing by 7 to 15% annually. Like Philip's mother, these parents are getting results. Although kids educated at home make up only 1.7 to 3.8% of U.S. school children, 21% of the finalists in this year's National Geographic B were homeschooled. Three out of the last six winners of the Scripps Howard National Spelling Bee were taught at home. Such students are getting places at top colleges as well. Studies show that they score an average of 73 points higher on the SATs than their public and private school peers. This year, for example, MIT admitted 7 of the 33 homeschooled students who applied, a 21% acceptance rate compared with an overall acceptance rate of 16%.
Although homeschooling parents obviously find the sacrifice worth the effort, taking over your child's education is an enormous responsibility. Most people can't give up the time or the income to teach their kids at home, and many are pleased with mainstream schooling. If you send your kids off on the school bus every morning, though, you can still provide them with many of the benefits of homeschooling. After all, you've been teaching your kid successfully since infancy. You helped him form his first words, put together his first puzzles. Not every teacher is a parent, but every parent is a teacher. No teaching degree can replace the intimacy of knowing your child, his interests, his good hours, his bad hours, how to get him to open up and ask questions without embarrassment, etc. Parents need to be reminded that their role as teachers doesn't end just because their child goes to school.